The study of eschatology comes from a Greek word, eschatos. It is one of the many disciplines under the header of theology. Theology, the study, the logic of God, and of course the study of scripture. And under theology, you'll see many other modules or disciplines when it comes to studying scripture. So there is the, for example, the study of soteriology. Soteriology comes from the Greek word soteria, and soteria meaning saved, to be delivered, to be healed, made whole, or to be redeemed. So it has to do with eternal salvation, but it also has to do with being saved and delivered from danger. And there's many times in scripture, both Old and New Testament, where people of God were saved from immediate danger in their situation here on earth. So it's not always referring to eternity or eternal salvation, eternal redemption. Soteriology, therefore, is one particular topic. Eschatology is another one. And they overlap. Very often they overlap. But the main focus will be in the direction of either or whatever the discipline is. Eschatology, with the meaning of the Greek word eschatos, means last things, and the logic of it, or the eschatology, basically is referring to the study of last things. Now, for most, I would say still at this time, and I think that's changing, and it's changing pretty fast, but at the moment, most churches, when I look at Protestant churches, for example, evangelicals, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Charismatic, Word of Faith, Grace churches, most of these groups will hold to a eschatology which has a futurist perspective. When I say futurist, I mean that the teachings with regards to eschatology has much to do with expectations still to be fulfilled in our time, imminently or very soon, and that's referring to the return of Christ, the second coming, the very often referred to rapture, the resurrection of the dead, and a revelation of the Antichrist and him becoming a one world leader, and many other such references that are often heard in messages in these churches. So what I'd like to do, just basically in these few minutes that I address this particular topic of eschatology, is just to point out that there are different perspectives of eschatology, and there are views that have been codified in titles such as millennialism, postmillennialism, premillennialism, amillennialism, and they each have their own emphasis on where the thousand-year reign of Christ would be placed within history, whether it be in the past, in the present, or even in the future. And there's many things that we could address here, but I'd like to really boil it down and keep it simple, because I'm not going to be teaching about millennialism, not necessarily. I'm not going to be teaching about all these different aspects and elements and approaches and viewpoints. Because, well, I would like to focus in on the things that I've come to believe and share them with you. And so I need to just point out that you could really boil it all down to two main perspectives, and that is either a futurist approach to eschatology or a preterist approach to eschatology. Preterism comes from the word preter, meaning past, past fulfillment, and mainly looking at books like the Book of Revelation, but also chapter 24 of the Book of Matthew, Mark chapter 13, Luke chapter 21, which is all the message that Jesus gave to his listeners at the time with regards to what was going to happen in the near future. And I believe he was talking to that, well, he was definitely talking to that generation, but the things he said would soon come to pass, he said would happen in that generation. And some of them who were listening to them, he said, would not die until all these things would have come to pass. And I'll give you scripture, chapter, reference, verses, everything. But just in these few minutes, just to point out that there is a preterist perspective of eschatology and a futurist perspective of eschatology. And then there's all the in-between ones and all the different overlaps. And then there is the part sort of halfway sort of approach. For example, preterism can be again looked at as full preterism, which some call hyper preterism, which is the view that all the prophecies and all of the Book of Revelation were completed and were answered and were fulfilled in that first generation, or during that first generation of Christians in that first century. And then there is part preterism, where most of the people who hold to that perspective will agree with the full preterism, except that there is still some elements to be fulfilled even in our day. And so they sort of cross over from partial preterism into futurism to some degree. So again, just to reiterate again, that if you keep it simple, then we can start making sense of this, because there has been a lot of confusion, chaotic approaches, wild, fantastic ideas. All you have to do is go on YouTube and type in end times and you get the most craziest ideas. And I find it quite appalling and quite very sad, in fact, that so many people have been so gullible over the last several decades, perhaps as long as humanity has existed, but especially in my lifetime, I have observed how easy it has been for people to just latch on to some sort of idea and not even really question it. Now, I'm not really free in that particular judgment as I really make, because I used to hold to a futurist eschatology myself. And that was because there was a period during my time as a minister, as a preacher, where I didn't question it, because I presupposed, I could say I assumed, that what I heard and what I taught, what I was taught in Bible school and what I was taught by other ministers whom I looked up to, was, you know, there was no other perspective taught anywhere else. So I didn't hear any conflicting ideas, and I just assumed that it was part of what we believe to be the gospel. And so for a good 7 years or so, I, as a minister, I also referred to futurist eschatology, and I did it, and I parroted it, the same similar ideas and messages. Now, I was not necessarily emphasizing end time teaching, because that was not my cutting edge. But if I had to refer to it, I would mention the rapture, and I would mention Jesus coming back soon, etc. Those kind of basic ABC ideas. it wasn't until I finally came across material and heard some other ministers and teachers talk about preterism, and suddenly I had an option. Suddenly I had conflicting ideas that were presented to me, or at least it caused me to question some of the things that I had learned before. And it was then that I started using my sense, really, my discernment, to look at scriptures, and the preterist perspective really came out as a winner to me, because even though I still have many questions, and I don't claim to know everything about eschatology, but what I will say is that the full preterist perspective really answers many more questions in a very solid way, very much in harmony with Scripture everywhere across Old and New Testament, whereas the futurist eschatology really is a chaotic, inconsistent, conflicting interpretation of many of these prophetic verses and scriptures of both Old and New Testament, especially when it comes to the book of Revelation. So, bottom line, there is a futurist interpretation of eschatology, and then there is a preterist perspective, and then there's many little ideas and views overlapping in between. But yes, I will be emphasizing my view and my take on what Scripture says on eschatology, and it will be from a full preterist perspective. Let me also just add to that that being a full preterist, or at least holding to that eschatology, does not mean that I believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts like healing as well, for example, physical and both mental healing for the people of God, for people in general, it does not mean that I think that these things all disappeared at the death of the last apostle, or in during 70 AD when Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed. Not at all. I believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and that includes also healing, which is something that Jesus surely made available as part of the new covenant which he established with the Father. I believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, and the healing that he purchased for us is still for today, and is even more available, more accessible than it was even during that first generation of Christians. So, as we talk about this powerful stuff, it's going to be powerful, very liberating, and empowering.
For more information, go to reformationgospel.com.